Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Dhritarashtra, the third character in our series. So Dhritarashtra is the representation of how weakness when combined with wickedness can lead to disaster for oneself and disaster for the world. So Dhritarashtra is a weak character. Sometimes he goes towards virtue, sometimes he goes towards vice. There are moments when he acts also wickedly, when especially he's eagerly asking, has Draupadi been won? That is a very mean action. And towards the end also we will see when he acts wickedly. But he is weak in general. Sometimes he moves towards virtue also, although he's forced to move to act virtuously. But then Duryodhana is wicked. And the wicked use the weak for their own nefarious ends, and the weak are unable to resist them. So when Dhritarashtra became a part of the conspiracy hatched by Duryodhana to exile the Pandavas, Duryodhana was jubilant. Now I have got the kingdom and I'll rule the kingdom. And he was quite arrogantly filled with his own ideas of his power and Karna's power, and he thought we will be able to combat the Pandavas even if they become angry and even if they have to fight, there has to be a fight after the exile gets over. But Dhritarashtra was gripped with anxiety. And on one side, there was remorse at the way he had treated Pandu's sons, at the way their wife had been wronged in his presence. And on the other hand, there was also great fear that what will happen to my sons. So from both points of view, from his dealing with the sons of the Pandu, his nephews, and with the future of his sons, both ways he was filled with misery. And that is actually the predicament of those who are weak and attached. They just don't get any pleasure, although they think they are getting the object of their attachment, but actually they get no pleasure. So as he was sitting in his palace thinking, the Pandavas had been exiled and Duryodhana was celebrating, but Dhritarashtra was mournful, and he called Vidura and he said, "Oh Vidura, my body is burning. Please give me some counsel. How can there be auspiciousness for the Kauravas?" So Vidura was exhausted. He had cried himself hoarse trying to make Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra see sense, and he said, "Now there can be no auspiciousness. Now that the die Shakuni has cast, that is going to come back as the arrows and the mace blows of Arjuna and Bhima. The Kuru dynasty is destroyed." Dhritarashtra did not want to hear such words. He wanted to be consoled, and Vidura's heart was compassionate. He told his brother, "Still there is one way. If you abandon Duryodhana, have him imprisoned or exiled, send him away completely, and welcome back to the Pandavas and give them to what is theirs, then maybe there is still hope. Otherwise, your dynasty is going to be destroyed, and all the Kauravas will die, and the whole Kuru dynasty will be meeting destruction." So as Vidura continued forcefully, hoping somehow that Dhritarashtra will see sense to give his counsel, Dhritarashtra felt his temper rising. And he said, "Oh Vidura," another name of Vidura was Katua. "Vidura, oh Katua, your words find no favor with me today. You are always partial to the Pandavas. And I had asked you for counsel, but you are instead disturbing me further." He says, "What you are saying is not favorable to me." He says, "Instead of being impartially disposed towards both Pandu's sons and my sons, you are biased against my sons and you are partial to them. Therefore, I have no need for you. May go wherever you like." And he dismissed Vidura. Vidura was already heartbroken at the way the Pandavas had been treated, and he decided to leave and go to the forest. And he got on a chariot and went deep into the forest, following the trail which the Pandavas had marked, asking people. And soon he reached in the forest. And He reached there, and next morning, Dhritarashtra woke up and started lamenting, "What have I done? My brother was always my well-wisher. Why have I sent him away like this? What a fool I am." And he was beside himself with grief. Now here, his conscience was awakened a little bit. And he told Sanjaya, "Please go and call Vidura. Please tell him that I regret the words that I have spoken, and please ask him to come back. You know, he is so dear to me. I cannot live without him. Please call him back. I am burning in lamentation at the way I have dealt with him." Sanjay went all the way back to the forest, and he conveyed the message to Vidura, and Vidura came back again. So Dhritarashtra apologized to him, and he said that actually I was overcome by emotions at that time. That's why I spoke this way. You are always my well-wisher. Please stay with me. So be it. We'll discuss this incident from Vidura's perspective when we talk about Vidura. But here, Dhritarashtra oscillates. You know, he wants somebody who will give him good advice, but he has that much good sense to know that somebody is giving me good advice, I should not send that person away. But he does not have enough good sense to recognize that good advice is not just to be heard, good advice is also to be followed. And he continues on the path of staying attached to Duryodhana. And then as the forest exile happens, the 12 years pass by, different sages who go to the forest, meet the Pandavas, then come to the Kauravas in their palace. They report about the great activities of the Pandavas over there. Amunaiva kalevarin prapto mahendra bhavane mahadasanardham. So, prapto amunaiva kalevarin. Actually, Arjuna in this very body went to heaven, and there he sat on the throne of Indra as if he's equal. You know, Indra's son, Arjuna sat next to Indra as per Indra's behest. So, when Dhritarashtra hears this, his heart shudders. What is the progress of these people? And then he hears about how Bhima kills so many terrible demons, and his heart shudders again and again. And throughout, you know, he's in agony constantly, not being able to tolerate the impending disaster that is coming, and yet not having enough power to do what it takes to stave off that disaster. So as the years are passing by, you know, he sees that Duryodhana is not only ruling and delighting in ruling, but still Duryodhana further wants to inflict greater misery on the Pandavas, and he decides to go to the forest. So Dhritarashtra and flaunt the wealth and prosperity that he has got. But Dhritarashtra is reluctant. He says, "Don't go to the forest." He says, they already angered them, and if there's an encounter, who knows what will happen. So Dhritarashtra, as usual, manipulates, and he goes to the forest. And again, Dhritarashtra is weak. And that pastime of how Dhritarashtra gets humiliated by being defeated by the Gandharvas, we'll discuss later when we talk about those characters. But here, even after knowing what is right, still again and again, Dhritarashtra is not able to do what is right. Just whenever Duryodhana makes any request, almost never can he stop Duryodhana from doing that. So Duryodhana is just manipulating him, and he lets himself get manipulated. And then finally, the 12 years are over, the Pandavas go into Ajnatvas, and then they are found, and they are living at Virat's kingdom, where Arjuna's son Abhimanyu gets married to Uttara, the daughter of the Matsya king Virat. And then a message is sent. Drupada's Brahmin comes there and gives a message to Dhritarashtra. He says that Yudhishthira and the Pandavas have, as per the terms of the gamble, finished their a period of exile, and now they await your orders. He said they consider you to be just like their father, and they wait upon you to do what is right. So in the meanwhile, Duryodhana is infuriated, and he doesn't want to give the kingdom. Dhritarashtra again cannot say no to Duryodhana. Vidura tries to give him good advice, but Dhritarashtra doesn't listen, and then Duryodhana grievously insults Vidura. And Vidura leaves. So at this point, Dhritarashtra adopts a very underhanded strategy. He says, "I will send Sanjaya as my messenger, and Sanjaya will reply." So Sanjaya, the son of Gavalgana, so Sanjaya goes with the message, and the Pandavas receive him very honorably. And when he is told to tell the message, he delivers that message as Dhritarashtra has given. And he says that, "O Pandavas, all of you are known as embodiments of virtue. Yudhishthira is kind, gentle, humble, tolerant, forgiving, and he is the well-wisher of all." He says, "I hope that he who is such a well-wisher of everyone will not become the cause of destruction for the whole Kuru dynasty." He says that all of you Pandavas are so virtuous that you will be ready to give up your lives if somebody asks you for that. And I cannot imagine how you will take up the lives of your relatives. So therefore, I beg you, please let there be peace amongst the Pandavas and the Kauravas." Now, what is he doing by this? He's saying that you just stay without a kingdom and let there be peace. So Yudhishthira and Krishna, all of them are assembled, and they look at each other and smile. His message is clear. But Sanjay makes it further clear. He says, "If at all, for the sake of gaining a kingdom, you decide to fight a war," Dhritarashtra's message is being conveyed by Sanjay, "what will you gain? Even if you win, still you will have to kill all your relatives. And with the death of your relatives, and you being the cause of that death, your life will be like death. It will be worse than death for you. What will you gain by such a victory? I cannot believe that those who are so virtuous will become the cause of such great violence and destruction." And he says, "Therefore, I fall at the feet of the great Krishna and the valiant Drupada, and I beg them, let there be peace among the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Let all be well, and let there be no war and destruction." And Sanjaya ended the message over here. Oh, Yudhishthira spoke very gently and he said, "O Sanjay, what makes you think that it is I who desire war?" He says, "One desires war only when it is unavoidable." And he says, "It is greed and anger which impels people to violence, and those who are having uncontrolled senses act for the pleasure of the senses and act greedily, violently, lustily." He says, "I only want to do my duty, and for the sake of duty, I need a kingdom. I am not doing a war to expand my territory. I am only asking for that which is I need to serve the Brahmins and do my duty as a Kshatriya." And Yudhishthira gives a fitting reply, and Sanjay departs. Basically, Dhritarashtra's idea was, implication was that, ultimately, when people get engaged in this world, they become grihasthas, and then eventually they have to renounce and take to vanaprastha. So he says, "Oh, Pandavas, you're already vanaprastha. So why do you have to become grihasthas? Why do you have to, you already renounced. Why do you have to become entangled in worldly affairs?" So the Pandavas reply is that, "Actually, we have to do our duty. And there's a time for everything. And the Pandavas are married. They have children. And they have responsibility to the royal society, as members of the royal family. They have responsibility to society, which they cannot neglect. We'll discuss about the rationale for peace or war elaborately when we talk about Krishna's peace mission, which we'll discuss when we're talking about Duryodhana. But here, Krishna, Sanjay is departing after getting Yudhishthira's reply, Krishna says that, "Oh, Sanjay, tell Dhritarashtra that I will myself come, and I will try to gain peace." And Dhritarashtra, when he hears Sanjay repeating Yudhishthira's message, now he recognizes the error of his ways. It was a last-ditch effort. It was a gamble. He knew it was not going to work. But still, he was so attached that he could not say no to Duryodhana, and at the same time, he wanted also to gratify his own hopes. of having peace. So it's like wanting the cake and eating it too also. So he wanted that his sons be protected, his sons have the kingdom, and both. He wanted the sons to have the kingdom and to be protected also. And for that he wanted the Pandavas to sacrifice. And not just sacrifice, it was to renounce. Now there is one thing which is sacrifice, which is giving up what is once for a higher cause. But giving up what is once for a lower cause is not sacrifice. That is stupidity. You know, when Ravana has abducted Sita, if Ram says at that time, okay, I sacrifice Sita for the sake of peace, that is not sacrifice. That is cowardice. So what is one's property and what is needed for one's doing one's duty and what has been unrighteously taken away, fighting for that is not greed. It is doing one's duty. So Dhritarashtra was in this way being manipulative, and Yudhishthira saw through it. And when he got the message that Krishna is going to come, now Dhritarashtra has been told by various sages that Krishna is God. Krishna is the supreme being. And he knows about Krishna's prowess also from the various demons that Krishna has killed and the amazing deeds that Krishna has done. And he wants Krishna to be on his side. And so he tells the assembly that when Krishna comes, we will have a grand reception for him. A reception worthy of not just a king but the emperor of the world. And with such a reception, and we will give him lots of gifts, and that way we will win him over. And in that way, we will try to get peace on our terms. So Vidura says, and said in response to this, he says, O king, this plan will not work because your intentions are unscrupulous, and Keshava sees the intentions of the heart. You want to give gifts to Krishna, but you don't want to give him what he has come for. And that is the rightful kingdom of the Pandavas. Your plan will not work, O king. Duryodhana also turns to the Dhritarashtra and he says, O father, this plan will not work. Krishna is too intelligent to see through such efforts to bribe him. He says, I have another plan. He says, I will arrest Krishna. And he will be unprepared. He has come as a peace messenger. And if we can arrest him, and if he is out of the battlefield, then the odds will shift dramatically on our side. When the assembly hears this, it's a gasp of horror. And Bhishma is so angry. He says, how dare you consider such a thing? He says, completely against the codes of morality. And even Dhritarashtra is shocked. He says, what are you speaking, O son? Bhishma walks away in a huff of anger, unable to contemplate the thought of Krishna coming to grief like this, of even such an insult being done to Krishna, because Krishna will not come to grief, but of such a act being done. So Dhritarashtra chastises Duryodhana, but Duryodhana knows, he will speak strong words, but he will not do anything, and he just neglects the chastisement. So there are a few occasions when Dhritarashtra speaks strongly to Duryodhana also. But it's like a dog that barks but does not bite. So because of his attachments, Dhritarashtra cannot do anything which will be against Duryodhana's schemes. And then when Krishna comes and Krishna speaks to Dhritarashtra, and Krishna uses Sam, Dam, Danda, Sam, Dam, Bhed, everything he uses very systematically. First he speaks to Dhritarashtra. And he appeals to him for peace. And Dhritarashtra says, O Krishna, the words that you are speaking are perfect. But I am not the master of this kingdom. He says, it is Duryodhana who has to agree. Please speak to Duryodhana. So here he is clearly admitting. You know, sometimes in politics it is there that one person is on the chair, but another is actually in power. And that person is a remote controller, and this person is just moving like a puppet. So here Dhritarashtra was always like that, but Dhritarashtra, when he has to take a serious decision and doesn't have the courage to take that decision, then he openly admits also, I am not the master of my fate. Please try to persuade Duryodhana. And Duryodhana pays no attention at all to Krishna. When he tries to arrest Krishna, Krishna shows his Virat Rupa. And then he sees the Virat Rupa, there is a whole uproar in the assembly. And at that time, Dhritarashtra asks Sanjay, what is happening? What is the sound? What is the storm? What is happening over here? So Sanjay says, Krishna is showing his Virat Rupa. And then Dhritarashtra calls out to Krishna, oh Keshava, you are always doing the good of all the worlds. Please, let me see this magnificent form of yours. And Krishna says, so be it. And he gives him the eyes. Now Krishna wants Dhritarashtra to use his willpower to say no to Duryodhana once and for all, to say no to his nefarious schemes. And he gives him, to give him impetus to use his willpower properly, Krishna wants Dhritarashtra to see the consequences of what will happen. And seeing the huge form of the Virat Rupa, understanding the prowess that Duryodhana was going against, the power that Duryodhana was going against, that will persuade Dhritarashtra. So, will it? It should have, but it doesn't. Duryodhana dismisses Krishna's Vishwarupa just as some magical power, mystical power. Dhritarashtra knows better, but still he doesn't know better. He knows at an intellectual level that, okay, Krishna is God. And when he sees the huge Virat Rupa practically spanning everywhere, he's shocked. His heart chills seeing the power that Duryodhana is going against. And he knows that there is no hope for him. But still, his attachment is so strong. He says, maybe somehow, you know, if Krishna is really as powerful as that, then he's so close to the Pandavas. How would the Pandavas have met such misfortune? How would they have been sent to the forest? Therefore, maybe there is some hope for us. And he gets the eyes to see the Vishwarupa. He sees the Vishwarupa. He contemplates on it. But then again, his attachment covers over. So what should have been an illumination, a steady illumination which shows the right way, becomes just a flash of lightning which stays for some time, and then again there is darkness. The darkness caused by his attachment. And that is how he stays, continues. And Krishna withdraws his Vishwarupa and walks away. And next morning, when Krishna is about to depart, Dhritarashtra goes there and he says, okay, Keshava, you should not blame me, because you have seen that Duryodhana does not listen to me. I do not want war, but what can I do? Krishna looks at the Kuru elders, Bhishma and others, and he says, "No, oh elder," Drona is also there. He says, see, oh Kuru elders, you see that the emperor of the world is saying that he has no power. Now, war is inevitable. So here what we see is that Dhritarashtra, he wants the enjoyment that comes from power, but doesn't want the responsibility. When there is responsibility, one has to take hard decisions at times. Decisions that will displease some people. But if that's what is required, that's what is called for by duty, one has to do it. If one refuses to do it, then one is culpable. In fact, earlier, when Vidura warns Dhritarashtra about the impending destruction that will result if Duryodhana is allowed to go along his evil ways, at that time Dhritarashtra protests and he says, you know, if it is the will of destiny that our dynasty will be destroyed, then who am I, a tiny mortal, to stop the force of almighty destiny? So when Dhritarashtra tries to invoke destiny to justify his inactivity, to justify his responsibility, Vidura cuts through the illusions and he says, oh king, it is the consequences of our action that are determined by destiny, not the actions themselves. It is our responsibility to choose the right actions. So, very important point. It is the consequences of our actions that are determined by destiny, not our actions themselves. A student can't say that, oh, whatever the stand will happen, so why should I study? No, studying, it is the duty of the student to study, and the student has the responsibility and the capacity to study. Sometimes after studying also the results may not come. And that is, we understand, the result of destiny. So actually there are these two schools of thought, Karmavad and Daivavad. Karmavad means that everything is in my hands. If I do the right karma, then I'll get the result. I'll become the next wealthiest person in the world. I'll become the next president of America. I'll become Bill Gates or whatever. So everything is in my hands. That is Karmavad. And Daivavad is everything is in my hands. Everything is destined. That is called fatalism. Fatalism is, the fatalistic idea is that everything is destined. So now the reality is that karma, if you consider pendulum, Karmavad is one extreme of the pendulum. Daivavad is another extreme. The steady state is actually karma and daiva combined together. The Puranas give the example of farming. Now, when a farmer plows the land, that is the karma. The farmer is expected to do the duty of krushi, of agriculture. So, plows the land, sows the seeds. The farmer does karma. And then daiva, the role of destiny is that rains come. Rains have to come at the proper time, in proper quantity. And when karma and daiva both come together, then there is phala. Then there is the crops which grow. So, now, even if the destiny is there and the rains come, if the karma has not been done, if the land has not been plowed, if the seeds have not been sown, then no phala will come. So, we cannot blame destiny for not doing our karma, our activity, our dharma. So, our karma is our dharma. Now, karma can mean many things. Karma can mean bad karma also. But here, karma refers to our prescribed duty. So, that is our dharma. We have to do it. And Dhritarashtra had a duty as a king to make the right decisions. He cannot blame Daiva for that. And sometimes, even when our karma, we do the duty properly, but still the results don't come, we have to understand that the work is not going in vain. In the farmer analogy, the work goes in vain in one sense. But in real life, in the system of karmic justice arranged by the Lord, no good action goes in vain. No action is fruitless actually. So, whatever karma we do, even if it doesn't give a result right now, it is contributing to our future daiva. So it is creating a destiny. So in that sense, we are the makers of our destiny. Of course, some of our destiny is made in the past and some of the destiny is made now. So in that sense, we may not be able to change some things in our destiny. We cannot change, farmers cannot change the way the rains come. But similarly, we may not be able to change certain things in our life. If we are born in a particular family, we can't change that. If we have a particular complexion, if we have a particular psychophysical nature, we're not going to change that. But still, destiny may give us our face, but we can give ourselves a smile. Even a face that is not very attractive looks attractive when there is a smile. And even a face that is attractive doesn't look attractive when there is a frown. So, destiny changes certain, determines certain things, but certain things in our hands. So, Dhritarashtra is in one sense the personification of Daiva. Oh, everything is destined. What can I do? And this is irresponsible. This is fatalism. And this is what is wrong in his attitude. And this wrong attitude causes the destruction of the Kuru dynasty in the long run. How that happens, we'll discuss in our future episodes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.